We want to speak this morning from the title, Grace and Peace. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word. They have prayed over me, Father. Now I come to you. I thank you for this time. I thank you that I'm having to trust you in spite of what I see. I thank you that you've made deposits in me of your word, and now I'm having to stand on what you've deposited. I thank you, Father, for even the trouble, the discomfort. I thank you for the challenges and the trials that caused me to have to turn to you and to be disappointed in people and things and other things that I could trust in, Father, that we tend to lean on, Father. I pray, Father, that you take this word, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you have your way. You know what must be said. You know what I'm dealing with. You know where we all are individually, God. And you know what it would take, Father, for us to get through it. So I pray, God, that in your own special way that speaks to every heart here, that you lead your people beside the still waters today. That even in the rough seas, Father, we will not be shaken and broken, Father, to the point to where we doubt you, God, but where we trust in you, God. Speak to our hearts this morning, God. Our trust is in you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace. All right. While you have your finger in James, let me just remind you of what was said in 2 Peter. It said, 2 Peter, the first chapter, second verse. Don't turn to it. Just trust me. It's there. You already have it in your notes. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, James 1, 13 through 25. I'm just going to try to briefly get through this. Tell me what to leave in, Father, what to leave out, in Jesus' name. James 1, 13. When you have it, say amen. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither he tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? Own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, interesting. Wow. It bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Keep going. I'm being rerouted here. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Wow. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Back to 13. Wow. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And we learn in 1 Peter that we are partakers of divine nature that enables us to escape the corruption that is brought in through that is in the world that is brought in through our own lust. You see it? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Through the channel of lust, that's how the world system gets to us. Remember that? And when lust hath conceived, wow. When lust gets connected, your connection, ooh, to the stuff that's in the world, when your desires, the battleground is fought in the area of our desires. If God changes our desires, then it causes us to escape the world system. But if God is not changing your desires, then what's happening is your lust that's in you, your desires, gets to connect up with the world system and have a baby. I get it, God. It bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, when that baby's full grown, death. Are you getting it? Hang with me. I just got what he's saying. My goodness. I'm having a moment. Verse 15, when it's conceived. All right, so verse 16 says this. Here's the thing that helps us. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't get this wrong. Woo! You must believe this simple truth. What is the simple truth that you must believe? Verse 17 says this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, from God, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What is it saying? Don't get this wrong in your head. God is not shifty. He can only do what's good. He cannot change. Never blame anything that's bad on God. That's how the enemy tricks a lot of people. Well, if that is so good, then why this? If God is so good, then why that? If God is so good, why am I going through all that? And this and that and the other. Somebody explain that to me. Don't get it wrong. God can't change. Ooh, he's good all the time. It's impossible for him to do anything other than what is good. So don't err. Don't let yourselves be deceived by thinking wrong about God. You do that, you head down a certain street that's going to mess you up. That's what he's saying. So God is not working on himself. He works on people. God is not lacking anything. There has never been a time when God says, I need to improve myself. Woo! He's perfect, always been perfect, always shall be perfect. Are you hearing me, saints? Now, verse 18 is key. Of his own will begat he us. With the word. What does it say? Of truth. Comma, that means stop. Take that in. Nothing but God's own will. Of his own will, God was not forced to save us. God decided to save us. Amen? We didn't earn his mercy. We didn't earn his salvation. He just decided because he wanted to save Jamie Hawkins. I didn't force him to. No one told him to. I didn't convince him. Come on, Dre. He just decided. That alone should cause us, if you know your own track record, to worship God. brought us forth to himself. We didn't do it. This right here describes the fact of new birth, of his own will. He calls us forth, brings us forth to be his own children. This relationship cannot change, will not ever change. Once you've been born, you can't be unborn. You're born again, it's done. And God did all that without being impressed by you. Woo! But how did it happen? Now we're getting into the specifics. Of his own will, he begot us with the word of truth. Everyone who is saved now and has ever been saved has been born again by hearing the truth. Are you making this plain? The Bible is God's only instrument of new birth. Apart from the word of God, we would not know about salvation. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. We would not know that salvation was available. You heard the gospel. Either someone read it to you, you read it yourself, or somebody preached it to you. The word of God is how you and I are made to be alive in Christ. No one gets saved by bypassing scripture. I felt the Lord one day. If there was no truth involved, you don't know what you felt. There is scripture. Scripture is good enough for us. Why? Because scripture was good enough for Jesus. He even quoted the word. All these folks talking about we need a new Bible. Well, I tell you what. If Jesus was standing on the Old Testament, why can't we stand on the Old Testament and New Testament? If it's good enough for Jesus, I guess it's good enough for us. Why isn't it good enough for you? A little weird. So, of his own will, because he wanted to. Not because of me. He begot me. He brought me to himself with his instrument of new birth, which is the truth, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay there for a minute. Put your finger there. Go into 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. You see it? But of incorruptible. What is the incorruptible seed? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Underline the word seed. Very important. The word of truth implants something, puts something in the soul of man. Back to James 1:19. Now, you ready? We've received the word. We got the word. We heard the word. We believe the word. Now, watch this. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, break that down again. Wherefore, comma, stop. Because he of his own will begot us, made us his own with the gospel found in the word in your Bible through the scriptures. Because of that, wherefore, my beloved brother, my Christians, my those who have received the like precious faith. Are you getting this? Those of us who have received the like precious faith. Amen. Who have obtained faith by God, because it's given to you. Okay? Those of us who are Christian, all right? Because he begot you with the word, my Christians, he's talking to church folks. Let every man, Christians, let all of you, all the Christians, be, here we go, swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Stop. Help me, Lord. Be swift to hear the word. Agree with God and his opinion about a subject matter or situation found in a word quickly. Don't hem and haw on the word that you're hearing and reading. Be swift to hear God's word. Be swift to agree with God. Be slow to speak. Be slow to offer up your opinion. Woo. Quick to hear God's word. Slow to speak your opinion or on a subject or a situation. Learn to shut up and trust God. Quit telling God what you think. Quit telling yourself what you think. Quit telling others what you think. Be slow to my viewpoint on what I think the matter is. Woo! Did you get that? My goodness. I gave you the truth. Quit thinking lies and telling other folks about it. I gave you the truth. Be slow to put your opinion on it. Well, my two cents, God, is this. I don't need your two cents. Hear what I'm saying. That's what he's saying. Are you getting that? Be slow to hold on to your own viewpoint. My goodness. And slow to wrath. Okay, here we go. When you and I have a question about something and we don't know what to do or what to think, go to the word of God. But when you go to the word of God, don't get mad if you don't like his answer. My goodness. Let every man be swift to hear God. Slow to speak while God's talking. Uh-huh. Slow to offer up your opinion. Uh-huh. And slow to wrath. Don't get angry when you hear God say something you don't like. My goodness. There comes a time when you just have to trust the Lord. There comes a time when you listen. Don't ask for the truth and then ignore the truth. My goodness. Lord, what shall I do? Well, he's taught us to go to his word. His word, he begot us with the word. He begot us with the word. He brought us to himself with the word of God. So he's not bringing you into the truth and using any other tool. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. All right. 4, verse 20. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, I always thought that meant don't get angry with folks. True. Don't get out of line. Yeah, true. That you're not going to show forth the fruit of the Spirit being angry and upset. But I always wondered, like, what's the connection? How does that connect to what you're saying? Well, don't get mad at what I tell you. Verse 20. Because getting mad at what I tell you will not cause you to accomplish the righteousness of God. Am I right, wife? Amen. For the wrath of man, the anger, worketh not the righteousness of God. You can't achieve the righteousness of God. Getting mad at what you learn from God will not work or achieve the righteousness of God. You can't do what God says when you're really mad about what he said. You can't do the will of God without agreeing with the will of God. And you don't know the will of God until you get into the word where the will of God is found. Come on, somebody. Come on. Now, watch this. Wherefore, lay apart, verse 21. Come on. Lay apart, set aside, put away all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. What is that? And why is that connected? We ain't gonna see in a minute. and superfluity of naughtiness, I explained to you, is the overflow of wickedness. The sinful remains. The sinful leftovers. Leftover filth. Leftover naughtiness. That old stuff, that old sin that you're still holding on to even after you've been saved. Come on. Old sins that you every now and then want to pick up. You know, it sure was nice hanging out with. It's the leftovers. You leave leftovers on your plate. Why? Because you're hoping that you might have a little bit of some of it tomorrow. I didn't eat all of it. I didn't discard all of it, so I got a little leftover, and we're going to pull some of that out tomorrow, just in case. I don't know. You don't know how I feel. I got still got a few things left on the plate. Yeah, what are you saying, Pastor? Yeah, I would delete that number. I would delete that number. I would, and I should delete that number. But I don't, because I still have a little leftover superfluity of naughtiness on the plate. Somebody getting this? Pastor, I left drugs alone. Every now and then I smoke a little bit of weed, just a little leftover. I'm stressed. So I got a little bit of stash somewhere. It's a leftover. I would hook up with Mr. or Mrs. Jones. And I know I shouldn't. Got some things. Now, those are over-the-top examples. Some of the other examples are your anger, your unforgiveness, your bad talking, huh? Your impatience, huh? Your lack of belief. We're going in there, huh? Superfluity of all that extra old stuff that you could kill it, but just in case. God is saying, wherefore lay apart. God is saying, let it go already. Somebody get that? Repent. Turn from that old stuff. Put it down once and for all. I need to tell you this. As Christians, it's not impossible. It's not. To have a made-up mind is written all over the Bible. Quit giving yourself excuses. Because if you don't, you're missing out on something. We're going to get into that anyway. Once again, just like we saw in 2 Peter, wherefore, lay apart. Who is he talking about? He's saying, you do it. Ooh. Isn't that interesting? A whole nother book is saying the same thing. All right. You lay aside. Why? Remove, here's a connection. Anything that will interfere with the word, the seed, being planted deep inside your soul. These things that you do from time to time get in the way of your relationship. Cause you not to be able to continue to receive. Ooh. If I cheat on my wife just a little bit, we're going to have some problems. Right? If I steal from somebody just a little bit, they may say, you can't borrow any money. Why don't you get back what you stole? Let's start over. Yeah, well, it was only one time. I only do it once a year. Oh, now it's hitting home, huh? Now you get it. Okay. Remove anything that will interfere with the word being planted deep in your soul. And here's the key word that we're going to this morning. And receive. Receive how? With meekness. the engrafted word, which is able, what? To save your souls. Back up. Wherefore, you kill everything that's getting in the way of your receiving. Your part, participating with God. And receive. That word means, receive the word, means welcome the word. That means not only hear the word, but agree with the word of God. That means embrace the word with a determination to obey the word. I heard it, I read it, I meditated on it, I received it, which means I welcome what it's saying. If I welcome you, I receive you. You ready? Receive it how? With meekness. I receive the word with a determination to obey the word. I'm taking it in. Not just on a surface level, deep down. I'm agreeing with God. With meekness. With meekness. That means I accept, receive, agree, trust in what you're saying without saying, yeah, but. That word, meekness here, means acceptance without disputing. He's saying, hurry up and agree with me. You're wasting your life. Hurry up and agree with me. Agree with what? The engrafted word. Woo! With meekness. Receive without disputing the engrafted word, which is implanted from the outside source. That's what that phrase means. The word that is being spoken over you. The word that you are reading. The word that you are receiving. The word that is coming into your hearing. Receive the engrafted word without complaining or disputing against God. The word that's coming from the outside, because it doesn't come from in you. The word that is being spoken into your life, the word that is being read into your life, the word that is being meditated on during your life. Hebrews 4 and 12 puts it this way. Stay there and put it in, and then go here. Hebrews 4 and 12. Ah, boy. For the word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Underline this. Piercing, cutting. Even so sharp, it's cutting to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. That means, people, wait, finish the phrase. And of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is so sharp, so quick, so powerful, that it's able to divide asunder. Divide what? Divide soul and spirit. Well, why would I need that? What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. What I think, what I feel, and what I want to do. And spirit. What is the spirit? The spirit is the thing that we've all been able to be partakers of if we are believers. The spirit is that divine nature that has been planted in you, implanted in you. I'm up here. The divine nature that's been implanted in you, that's the nature that's been given to you by God, the new creature in you. The word of God is so sharp, it's able to divide between you and what you're thinking and God. And what he thinks. What are you saying, Pastor? And the joint in the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is able to cut down between and separate two things that need to be separated in order for you to have clarity. Without the word of God, circumcising. Without the word of God, cutting and dividing asunder, I don't know what's God and I don't know what's me. Case in point, you come to church, you hear the word, and it says, which is able to save your souls. Now, I'm going to back this up in just a minute so you understand what I'm saying. James is saying, and he's talking to the church here, he's saying that you are believers and you need to let go of the old stuff and receive the word that will sanctify you, that will transform you, that will change you, and is able to save your souls, not as in save your soul in position in heaven that is secure. Remember, he's talking to believers. But able to save your soul in a way to where you are delivered from yourself here on earth. Somebody's getting it over here. Not able to save your soul from your position of going to heaven, but save your soul here, because I need deliverance from me down here. Deliver me from what I think. Deliver me from my viewpoint on the matter. Deliver me to the point to where my lifestyle on earth lines up with my heavenly position. You didn't get that. It's able, the word of God comes in and says, this is what you think. But this is what I think. Now, can you see yourself and how you're thinking? And can you see what I'm thinking? Now, your salvation is secure, but I need to be delivered from me while I'm still here. Woo! I'm talking to mature Christians. Still need the word. Where I start living holy, like God has claimed, or like I claim myself to be. It's salvation in a form of earthly deliverance. Where God delivers me, where I make decisions from the mind of God and not the mind of myself and then blame it on God. Did you get that? Oh my goodness. The only way to know what's in you is to look at the word. The only way to make decisions is not to listen to you or to listen to somebody else. The only way to make decisions and choices is to go to the word of God. Watch this. I hope you got that. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross, or the word of God, is foolishness, right? To those who are headed directionally for destruction. But we who are being saved, whoa. We who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Again, he's not talking about those who don't know God. He's talking to those who have been given the seed of God. But still got a lot of you to contend with. Huh? It's okay. We got Bibles. We got a lot of me in there. So he said, the word of God is power for those who are not just saved, but who are being saved. Being saved. I was saved from the foundation of the world. I got saved when I received Christ. I am being saved, still here on this earth walking with Christ, and I shall be saved when I don't have nothing to do with my stuff no more, and God has delivered me from me where I'm glorified in heaven. I got a new body and everything. Not fighting my flesh no more. Thank God for that day. I can't wait. I'm sick of me. But while I'm here, I have not my feelings. I have the word, which lets me know what kind of decision to make, which lets me know how to think. Okay? So, we've received the incorruptible seed in this earthen vessel. Come on, Holy Spirit, talk to me. We've got something precious in something very fragile. Are you getting this? All right. So, what's happening here is the believer, because you believed in Christ, you've received faith. Huh? But you still got to contend with yourself. So what do we do? The seed was implanted in you when you believed. But if I give you a seed and you put it in your pocket, it will not grow. If I give you a seed and you never put it in the ground, it will not grow. But even if I give you a seed and you put it in the ground and don't water it, it will not grow. Are you staying with me? The seed will still be the seed. But it will lie dormant. Even if it's been planted. I believe seed. But are we watering it? Ooh. Let that sink in. Why am I not growing? Where's the water? If you don't water the seed, it will not grow as precious and as pure as it is. Ooh, I'm talking to believers here. Just like when a mother gets pregnant by her husband, not her boyfriend. I need to say that. But don't lose my point. When the mother gets pregnant or the wife gets pregnant by the husband, what has happened? She has received seed. Undeniable. All right. The seed has all the DNA of life already inside of it. But you don't see that seed expressing life until it reaches a certain point of maturity. So, you can tell that my wife had received seed when you look at my children and how they express themselves. That's what they do. They go around proving that she received seed. We getting that? You can finish that analogy on your own. You don't need to help me. All right, I don't need to help you with that. All right. So what are you saying, Pastor? Be quick to hear God's word on the matter. Be slow to speak your viewpoint on the matter. Be slow to be angry with God's viewpoint when you hear his viewpoint contradicts yours. Be careful to surrender to God, because the wrath of man does not achieve the will of God. You can't do the will of God until you agree with the will of God. And the world has a viewpoint. Your mama has a viewpoint. Your daddy has a viewpoint. Your old church that you came from may have a viewpoint. But if you're not getting that point from the word of God itself, you can't be sure that you have the right view. So, what are you doing? You got to grow in maturity. You got to grow. You got to water the seed. So, listen, people. The seed has been planted. But for the baby to come forth, it must receive nourishment from the mother. How does the baby receive nourishment from the mother? The umbilical cord. As the mother eats healthy, the baby receives the nourishment from the mother. Some of us are not seeing, even though we're Christians, some of us are not seeing the birth of the things of the Spirit because we're not welcoming the nourishment. We're like babies pinching the umbilical cord and thinking that the flow of nourishment is going to come through. What are you saying, Pastor? When you sit around the word for years, but you don't agree and you don't welcome what you're sitting around, you're pinching the cord of your own growth. You're choking off the flow. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Don't get angry when God says something you don't like. What happens? You disrupt the flow and you don't grow. So what happens is the spirit man, as perfect as it is, does not express itself in you because your soul is running rampant and ruling. Because there's no word to come in between you and your soul. There's no word to tell you, this is the divine nature that I placed in you. Go with this. Go do it that way. Your soul dictates your whole entire life. You start doing what you feel, doing what you think, and then saying it's God. That's the mistake that even a Christian can make. You got to be careful. He said, my beloved brethren. He's talking to Christians. Okay? When you do what God promises, then there will be grace and peace. The old soul will not continue to rule. Are you getting that? The seed life is still in seed form if there's no watering of the seed. But it doesn't begin to grow from an embryo to a full-grown baby to the point to where you begin to birth the things of the spirit without the watering of the soul. You don't feed that baby through the umbilical cord, the baby will die. You don't feed that Christian through the word of God, the Christian just stuck. And in some cases, proves that you never received the seed at all. And that's where it's dangerous. Leftover sin and disagreement with God interferes with your intimacy with God. And it causes you not to bear fruit. You can want a baby all you want, but if you're not intimate with anybody, nothing's happening. Okay? You don't bear anything when you close yourself up and have an argument with God because you don't like what he said. You have to be in a position to receive. Yes. Yes. And the way you're receiving is when you agree and you welcome what you're reading. Yes. Otherwise, there will be no bearing of any fruit of the Spirit. Are you catching this? Yes. Why are you staying in the same place? Because I'm not welcoming what I'm reading. I'm not receiving what I'm reading. I'm choking off the umbilical cord. I'm not able to grow because I have got an argument in my mind and I will not let it go. I'm disputing with the very one who wants to feed me. Are you getting this? So James ends with this. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Here we go. Deceiving yourselves. How does that happen? Stay there for a minute. Give me Ezekiel 33, 30, and 31. Just going to read some words and just let the word hit you. I'm not going to expound it too much, but I think this makes sense. Are we there? Ezekiel 33, 30 and 30 through 31. Son of man, your people talk about you in their houses and whisper about you at the doors. They say to each other, come on, let's go hear the prophet tell us what the Lord is saying. So my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words, and their hearts seek only after money. You are very entertaining to them, Jamie. Like someone who sings love songs or with a beautiful voice or plays fine music or an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it. What's happening? This is an old problem. Hear the word. Don't welcome the word. Don't receive the word. Don't act on the word. No growth from the word. Are you seeing this? Huh. But Jesus said it this way. This is what ought to be happening. Luke 6, 47 through 49. Help me, Lord. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. 48. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep. Woo! That word went deep. And laid the foundation on a rock. Uh-huh. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. What happened? He heard the sayings of God and he did them. James 1, 23, 25. Back to it. For if any man or any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner he was. Remember we just saw that in 2 Peter, for those of you who have been studying. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So here we go. Back to 2 Peter 1 and 2. We're going to wrap this up. You listening? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is how this works, people. To grow in the grace of God in Christ is to come to an increasing experience of the fact that God is good, and that he only causes the highest well-being of all his people. This grace creates peace, which is a deep sense of blessedness in the soul. When I do what God says, I bring about peace. A deep sense of blessedness in my soul. I am blessed, and you can't tell me I'm not. Huh? Is the word doing that for you? To where the streams beat vehemently on your house, but they don't break you. They don't move you to the point to where you want to get up and unplant and get you, shake yourself loose. Now, I don't know if I believe all this. No. The word went deep. You found it on the rock. Uh-huh. I have a deep blessedness in my soul. I know it is well. Woo. I know that God is good. I am certain of it. In fact, I do not err, my brethren. Every good gift, every good thing cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He can't do anything but good. I know God is good, and I know I'm in him. Deep sense of blessedness in the soul. The word of God is cutting to the point to where I know I'm rich. I know I'm okay. I know I'm blessed. I know I'm wealthy. I know I'm all right. It provides that essential assurance about the ultimacy of God's love and the purpose, which removes the life-draining anxiety that eventually consumes and frustrates the lives of believers. What is he saying? That's a quote. What is he saying? He's saying basically that when you get deep in the word, you get strong in the word. You get certain in the word. You get unshakable in that word. You get unmovable in that word. You get assurance that God is your salvation. You get assurance that God heard your prayer. You get assurance that God is going to make a way out of no way. You get assurance that he's coming through. You get assurance that no matter what it looks like, I'm a victorious believer. You get assurance. Huh? And what does that do? That removes all that anxiety. And, oh, what am I going to do? And how are we going to make it? And no. No. The grace of God, the doing of these things, the trusting and believing in his word and doing what he says, creates the peace. I know his will. I know I'm in his will. I'm doing his will. So what happens is I get peace. Peter here prays in 2 Peter, the greatest prayer for his believers, please. Perhaps the highest form of intercessory prayer. For one that has assurance and inner knowledge of God's grace. One that has assurance and inner knowledge of your unmerited favor that has been given to you by God. For one who has assurance and inner knowledge and inner intimacy of the power of God working in your life, where you are now able to do certain things that you could not do before, where you can say no to certain things you couldn't say no to before. When you see that, that is perhaps the greatest treasure in life's blessing that you could ever receive. It is the greatest possession that you will ever have. Huh? So this is how this works. Grace and peace. 2 Peter 1, 2 again. And we're done. Grace and peace. What does that mean? Not just peace with God, but tranquility. See, I rode heavy on the grace side. Now we're going to look at the other side. It said two things. Grace and peace. Uh-huh. Be multiplied. Get more and more peace. Are you getting this? Get more and more peace. How does it come? Through the knowledge of God. By what you know, you get more peace. Woo! Of the God and our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowledge of God is not just power from God. It's peace, not just peace from God, but it's peace with God to where you have peace where you don't lose your mind while you're walking with God. Where you don't jump ship in certain situations where you can, oh, come on, somebody. Skip down to verse 5. Watch this. Remember, you get the divine nature, which enables you to escape all those things that are coming from the world system that come through your lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, what? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. They'll talk about peace here. And to knowledge, temperance. What does that mean? Stop right there. Temperance is not just self-control of your actions. Temperance is also taking control of your thoughts. How long do I sit there dwelling on peril? How long do I sit there dwelling on thoughts that God ain't gonna come through? How long do I spend hours and hours doubting the all-sufficiency of God? How often do I assure myself that God is able? How much do I tell myself that God is on my side? Here comes the thought. Insert the word. And then come out on the other side and say, no, that ain't right. I know that that's a lie. This is the truth. Why? Because that word got in the middle. It cut between your thoughts and God's thoughts. And God said, I gave my son for you. He that spared not his only son. How shall he not also give you all things? Huh? I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there for you. I will help you. Yay. I will be there for you. That's what he's saying. Uh-huh. And to temperance. Patience. This is where we all could use a little help. While you're waiting on God to come through and enduring your trials, what kind of attitude do we have? Are we at peace? Are you alive and looking good at church, but losing sleep at night? Huh? Do you look like you're trusting God? Do you have that patience and that endurance? Uh-huh. What kind of testimony is coming through your attitude while you're in your trial? What does your endurance look like? Do you look like you're experiencing the peace and the joy of God? Uh-huh. Do you look like God is good? I said again, do you look like God is good? God is good all the time. You don't look like it, honey. Your face, look at your face. Your face, look at your face. Look at your countenance. You look like you're going through. You don't look like God's good. How you doing, brother? Oh, boy. Pray God is good. Praise the Lord anyhow. Give me a low five, not a high five. Low five. I need a low five. I say praise and worship today. God is good. God is good. Huh? Patience. Huh? And to patience add godliness. We're talking about peace here, people. A high reverence for God. Are you making God bigger than your trial? Are you exalting God above what you're going through? Woo! Is God bigger than your situation? Can you hang in there just a little bit longer because you know that God is good? Huh? Do you have a reverence for him that's high? God is bigger than this. He's bigger than this. God is bigger than this. When I look at my bill, do I exalt God or do I exalt my problem? Do I fret? Huh? Grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge. Even to godliness, brotherly kindness. I say it again, people, one more time. My auntie Ernestine Ream said it this way. Jamie, if you get your mind off of you, you won't struggle so much. You're giving yourself a headache. She would say that to me. Look at you. What you thinking about? Me. And what I'm going through? Why don't you do something else for somebody else? Woo! Brotherly kindness. Huh? Why don't you get busy cooking something for your neighbor? Huh, brother, why don't you go outside and help your neighbor? I got that. I'll take care of that for you. Why? Because I'm sick and tired of listening to myself think about me. I'm stressing me out. So what I'll do is I'll do some brotherly kindness for the folks here in the church. I heard, you know what we ought to do? We ought to put a sign up here. For people who ain't ashamed to tell people that they need something from God. And we can see. We come in church and we praising God. And we struggling thinking about ourselves. And we go, what could I do for somebody else? Oh, so-and-so needs something. Okay. Amen. Maybe I'll get busy doing that. Instead of sitting there dwelling on my own stuff. Yeah. Driving myself crazy. Think about it. How many times have you stressed yourself out thinking about you? You ever notice how somebody else's problems are easier to solve than your own? You ever notice that? It's like, all you got to do is just do this. But now let me help. No, call the such and such. And you feel pretty good helping them out. And then you get back to your situation. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do about my thing, God. What am I going to do about me? I didn't help her. Ain't nobody helping me. Get your mind off that. Let the Lord work that out. He's going to work it out. Hasn't he always worked it out? Huh? Peace of mind and charity. Huh? That's not folks in the church. That's folks outside the church. Your enemies. Isn't it easier to be at peace while you're dealing with your enemies than to be fretting against your enemy? Oh, that's a hard one, Pastor. That's a hard one. I would rather be in a state of peace while I'm dealing with my enemy. In a state of anger. Huh? Where I could develop an ulcer getting mad at so-and-so because I won't let it go. Are you seeing this, people? Grace and peace. This is what we're saying here, folks. This is what we're saying here. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, Romans 4:17, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Huh? What are we talking about here? This is it. If you're not at a place where you've got the word, you could be stagnant, but you got to receive that word. You got to receive it. Receiving the word means welcoming. Well, I study my Bible. I know it by heart. But have you welcomed the word? Can't get pregnant with no fruit of the Spirit until you are able to receive what God is implanting in you. Receive the seed. Huh? I don't care how much you want to grow in God, but if you don't receive what he's saying, there will be no pregnancy and there will be no birthing of the things of the Spirit. We will not see. I know the enemy's mad, but I'm going to keep preaching. You will not see the things of God in your life until you receive what God is saying.
Amen.
Huh? Don't get angry because God says something different than what you feel. I feel this. God said, that ain't me. So I give you the word so I can cut down to the joint and the marrow. I can see your intention of your heart. I know why you feel that way and why you want to do it. Get all the way down in there so I can separate your soulless realm where you think and feel and want to do. Huh? And then I get you to see what I've implanted in you, the new nature. But you must water that new nature. You must pour water on that. God has only given one means. See, one channel to get the lust into you. I mean, one channel to get the world into your life, which is through your lust, right?
Yes.
Opposite that. One channel to water what God has already deposited in you.
Yes.
His word.
Yes.
Are you seeing it?
Yes.
Do you get it?
Yes.
Huh? Do you get it? Why am I not growing? Receive. Water.
Yes.
Trust.
Yes, yes.
Lean not to your own understanding.
Yes, yes.
Oh, preach, Holy Spirit. Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's no way for you to really know.
Yes.
Haven't you made enough mistakes and then blamed it on God?
Yes.
I've done that. Lord, I thought you said marry him or marry her. Lord, I thought you said, I thought that was you. I thought because the check was bigger, that was a better job. I thought. Huh? I thought. Yeah. I thought that was you. No. You didn't wait. You didn't water. You didn't seek. You made a decision based on how you felt. I was in danger. I'll never forget. I was feeling all kinds of emotions about a certain thing. And it was painful, embarrassing. And everybody was saying, you need to just do something else. Everybody was saying. A church mother came to me and did not give me her opinion. She gave me word. And the word went against everything that I was feeling. Everything that made logical sense for me to do something else. God was saying, you can't see. You're short-sighted. You can't see what I have for you. Don't move. Stay and wait on me. But this doesn't make sense. And on top of that, I'm going to look like a sucker. I look stupid waiting on you. This is embarrassing. I have some dignity here. I mean, come on. God said, I don't care about people. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I'm trying to tell you what is coming next. And you're going to blow it if you don't listen to me from my word. What did I do? Lord, I'm going to wait. Because I can't see. I'm not going to jump ship. I'm not going to move too quick. And the blessing that came. Oh, my goodness, people. the blessing that was showered over my life that I didn't, how about this? I couldn't agree with God because the things that God was trying to give me, I wasn't even mature enough to want at that time. Years later, I found out that what he was trying to give me, I really wanted. I didn't even know that's what I wanted. You don't know what you want. Come on. I want to do this, and I'm sick and tired of it. And God said, you don't even know what you want. You want this over here. But you're not mature enough to even know that this is what you want. So why don't you just strap down, put your seatbelt on, tie your ankle to the end of the chair, sit down somewhere, stop telling me what you think that you ought to do, stop giving me your opinion, and go for a ride. And you'll end up where I want you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. He leadeth me, that's what's happening. He's leading me. But what has to work? Water. Receive. I found that most people in this church, let me rephrase that, some people in the church love for me to do what I'm doing right now. Preach to them. Good word, Pastor. Here's the problem. I've said it before. The problem comes when I step out of preaching and I begin to pastor. Then they can't hear me because they're holding on. Now, here's a catch. When I go get counseling, I don't want the counselor to tell me what I already know. I go to counseling to get something I don't know. I go to counseling to get something I don't know. See, the thing with a pastor that's following the word of God, who is scared of God, is he's not going to tell you what he thinks. See, the truth is some of you would come to me, and if you came to me and not the word, I would be in agreement with you. Yeah, I think that's what you all do, because that's what I think. That's what I feel we ought to do. I think that's a good idea. Go ahead and do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Go ahead, yeah. That's good. But the word of God says something different. So don't tell you what I think. Tell you what God thinks and what he says and what he commands. And then we have to be, at that point, quick to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. The wrath of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I'm done.